Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. And that was the first time that we've played the new Wavelength theme. And today's guest is the composer of the Wavelength theme, Steve Parry, otherwise known as DJ Numpty.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
Good afternoon, Steve.
A pleasure to hear my track.
Should I call you Numpty?
Numpty, I think, for the sake of today. It would seem appropriate, wouldn't it? Otherwise.
It would indeed.
Yeah.
We met for the first time just now in the coffee bar next door. We'd never met before, and I wasn't sure what you looked like. And I sort of went around the cafe a couple of times saying, "Hello, are you Steve?" But I suppose if I'd said to them, "Are you DJ Numpty?" I might have...
You may have had more people say yes, possibly. But it was great, though. I walked in. It was almost like that feeling you must have if you're a sort of a superstar arriving off a plane.
Right.
And there's somebody stood at the airport with your name on a board.
With a name on it.
You had a CD which kind of sort of said Numpty on it, scrawled. And I noticed you holding the CD. I thought, that man's about to go and do a radio show. And... I walked over and sure enough you were.
Yeah. So tell me a bit about why DJ Numpty. Where's this name come from?
Well, it took me about a nanosecond to decide on the name, really. Numpty means idiot.
I thought
it?
So.
I suppose.
Is that Scottish, though?
I don't know. I've just heard people saying it, really. I don't know what the sort of ancestry of it is particularly, but I just thought it was useful for me in that I'm in no way a professional DJ, performer, or musician of any kind. Right. I am, in some ways, a numpty, but in no way a DJ. So I thought, why not? I thought I was entering a competition, other people, are going to have, reams of experience and, all these sort of, superstar DJs, I'm sure, entered.
Contemporary composers.
Indeed, avant-garde artists of all kinds and shapes and sizes. And I thought, if you can't beat them, join them, but at least make them realise that you're not actually trying to compete properly.
Well, you were the overall winner. You scored. You got 25 points. I think Richard came second.
Did he? That's a cheat, though, isn't
and
it?
Because
the station, isn't it? That's like Rupert Murdoch sort of winning a competition at News International, isn't it?
I suppose it is, but I found out yesterday that you also have a Welsh background, so I'm wondering if...
I do.
Is there something going on here?
No. I know Richard. I know him in a life of... Well, I do know him, from that period, there's a Welsh similarity, but that's pretty much where it stops, really.
And then, in fact, one of the other...
saw some of your... records earlier on, and you listen to some of that stuff when we were younger.
And of course, there's the other judge who was James Tregaskis, which is also a good old fashioned Welsh name, isn't it?
Tregaskis, it's a great name, isn't it?
He's
one of those people I've never met James Tregaskis, but I imagine he never ever just gets called James. He always gets called James Tregaskis, doesn't he?
That's true.
It's such an enjoyable thing to put in your mouth. It's like eating a delicious plum.
Okay. So, well, tell me a bit about yourself. You're a stand-up comedian.
Yes, I do a bit of stand-up. I do a bit of writing. And I am, currently preparing to go to Edinburgh. I've got a show there with a friend of mine called Paul Harry Allen. We're doing a show called Revolutions.
Right.
Which is about our passions for revolutions, be they political or 33 and a third. So it's music and politics in its finest traditions, socialist visions and rumba rhythms at 4:05 at the newsroom. And it's free every day from the 16th of August. That's the first time I've done a plug for the show. And that is going to get so good after 2 weeks in Edinburgh.
So what's your stage name?
My stage name is Steve Parry. Okay. I don't go under any sort of moniker or nom de plume for that. I thought maybe Numpty. I have performed under various other guises. Hmm. Big Orphan Annie being one, which audiences at home won't appreciate, but I've got a huge flock of ginger hair, like some sort of decrepit Mick Hucknall lookalike. Mm-hmm. So I occasionally go out under that guise. Mm-hmm. I have been out under as a blues man called Deaf Sausage Fingers Steve, who is the laziest blues man in South Wales. They always seem to be hard-working blues men, and I thought it was time for a lazy one. So I gave it a go, and my musical ability as well sort of lent itself to it not being particularly
well. So Steve Parry, and who's the other guy?
A guy called Paul Harry Allen.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got very big sideburns. So if you see him in Edinburgh, if you see anyone in Edinburgh with big sideburns, assume it's him.
Okay.
Yeah, and ask him for a flyer for Revolutions, which is on at 4:05 at the newsroom.
Okay. And what is the act? What do you do?
The act, the show. I do stand up, really. I stand there and I talk to people about things that I'm interested in. This show in particular is about our passions. It's about our competing passions. Paul is passionate about rifling around charity shops, finding old 70s kitsch records, the sort of things that have disappeared, in the sort of things you only ever find in charity shops when you flick through the records, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
He's built the show around that. I have built the show around my passion for revolutions, which is the political kind,
okay.
which is, you know, being a socialist and being a political person. I thought it would be quite interesting to try and do a show that wasn't hectoring or speech-making or preacher man-like, but was actually just a bit more of a conversation about the frailties and cock-ups that go on if you spend your life standing in the rain on street corners trying to convince people of global revolution in Dalston.
So do you ad-lib or is it scripted?
Some of it's scripted, some of it's ad-libbed. I suppose there is a proper sort of script there, I suppose, for the basic show, but you'd be a fool not to sort of let it vary every day because things change so much when you're doing stuff like that, you know. It's fantastic. So, every day will be slightly different, but, you know, we will underpin it with some genius.
So how did you get into this then? How did you start with comedy?
With comedy, I suppose. I've always been a bit of a performer. I did stuff years ago as a student and, you know, I was in various sort of things like the National Youth Theatre. I was a bit of a thesp and I was in bands and all of that sort of stuff. And I also was quite a keen journalist as well as a young man as well. So I did a journalism training and then I was working on in new media. So this is 10 years ago or more now. So you know, quite the early stages of new media, and we were working on it. We had a brilliant thing on the Guardian were actually fantastic. They were a forerunner with a lot of that online stuff because they had a site called what was it called then? I think it was still called Guardian Unlimited, but there was a website. It was called Shift Control, and no one really knew who was listening. But they let all sorts of interesting and unusual and new people write for it, and I was lucky enough to be one of those people. No one read it, which is often the best experiences when you, as a writer, to be honest, the gigs which no one are at and the shows which no one watch are always the best for some unknown reason.
Yeah.
Whether we're builders of our own legacy or not, I'm not sure, but. Yeah.
All right. Well, you've brought a couple of things along.
Yeah.
Should we play this first track?
Are we going to play one? Are we going to play the only other existing DJ Numpty? Yeah, this is a tribute to dancehall reggae.
Right. Okay. What's it called?
It's called Gonna Show Ya. I'm gonna show ya about the booty calling. Rat smothers soap on the scrubbed up goose grease. Gee, the conquer fossil. Clean up for the body. Pull my neck. Bravo, bravo. Clean up for the body. The kitten Jackie purchase. Big enough for the body.
Okay, so that was DJ Numpty's first release then.
Damn right, yeah, that's the white label. That's the one that the kids are going to want, I tell you. Rewind selector for that one, I think. But no, I love doing those little things though, because I don't consider myself in any way, shape or form a proper musician or performer, but to be honest, you know, I've got GarageBand on the old computer at home, and it's a fantastic way of just playing around really and having some fun. And I actually set out with no desire for an end product at all, really. I just sort of do it as a bit of fun on the computer, like some people might play solitaire or something, you know. And that, funnily enough, is how the track, the reason I'm here, the new theme tune came about. Because I've oddly enough, I ended up working for over a month, 6 weeks in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. And we were right in the middle of nowhere, and I was relying largely on online stuff to listen to. I've gone out there in a rush. I hadn't put enough stuff on the iPod or what have you. I looked at the Resonance website, saw that you were looking for the ad. And I had a free evening. I didn't know what to do. And I was stuck in this hotel room, had nothing to do. So I turned the computer on and decided to construct the track. So it was actually constructed in the middle of the Costa Rican jungle.
Right. Mm. Okay. Okay, well, you said your friend, is it Paul Allen?
Paul Harry Allen. Paul Harry Allen. He's got three first names. It's quite easy to remember.
Well, apparently, he rifles through Oxfam shops looking for records. Yeah. So maybe we should play this record, which dates from 1961, cool. which I think I found in an Oxfam shop. So this might sort of fit the bill.
Great
anyway,
stuff.
Let's take it away. This is by someone called Tony Fain from 1961.
Well, one of the things that features most in the British way of life, I always think, is the garden fete. Now, every church, chapel, club, home and institution holds its annual fete. Thousands of them are held throughout the country, and every one of them is religiously reported in that other British institution, the local evening newspaper. Now, I'd like to read to you now a report from a local evening newspaper of a typical English garden fete. The annual garden fete, held in the grounds of the vicarage of St. Adam Faith last Saturday, was this year attended by an even denser crowd than usual. The fete had its usual luck with the weather, and the lovely trees on the vicarage lawn afforded some slight shelter from the teeming rain which fairly hissed down in the early part of the afternoon, but which fortunately at tea time changed into a steady drizzle. The vicar introduced the opener of the fete, well-known local guide and scout mistress, the Honourable Agatha St. John Beamish. And speaking of her sterling work with the guides, commented that the dream of every vicar was to have a mistress like her living in the village. In reply, the Honourable Agatha asked everyone to give freely and spoke on the church roof. As she couldn't be heard up there, however, she came down and finished her talk on a platform decorated with a Union Jack and a vase of flowers. The platform was tastefully decorated too. She spoke of the need for re-slating the church roof, saying that both she and the vicar could tell of the bad state of the roof as they'd been out on the tiles together the night before. After the speech, there was a charming ceremony when the opener was presented with a bouquet of flowers by a small boy with a rather unusual smell. The Honourable Agatha then declared the fete open and went to the first side store where she tried to knock coconuts down with the vicar. A new innovation was the dog show, which was held in the Brownie Hut. It was slightly marred, however, by a rather savage fight which broke out among the competitors, the judge, Squire Trelawney, being rather badly bitten in the middle of it. Fortunately, all the dogs remained quiet throughout the entire fight. In the Scout Hut, the miniature fancy dress competition was won by Miss Ida Lovett. She wore the most miniature fancy dress. This was a popular win, as Miss Lovett is well known in scouting circles as Brown Owl. For obvious reasons, to wit, to woo. Prominent among the sideshows were the young wives in their fancy goods, the roulette wheel, which was run and fixed by Monsieur Duval, whom it is reported the police are extremely interested in, and the youth club's rock and roll competition, which finished up in a blaze of glory when the sum of £10 was raised to the funds and the parish hall was raised to the ground. The skittles were under the auspices of Mr. Clapworthy, and the hidden treasure was under Mrs. Beamish. To sum up this most successful day in the words of Miss Lovett, it was a fate worse than death.
Well, that was from British Institutions, explained by Tony Fain.
That's terrific, isn't it?
Did you like that?
I thought that was brilliant, yeah. I mean, I don't feel the need to ever go to a British fete again.
No?
I just feel all I need is the rest of the British Institutions collection.
Well, this is number two. That's probably a series.
I wonder what number one was.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen him before. But
Christmas or Easter or... I don't know what other great.
Well, the other one's on here. He does one about the British railways
Oh, right.
And the police. on here, but it's always in that same style, this same delivery, and lots of those plays on words, which are rather kind of obvious, sort of fairly obvious.
They
puns,
feel obvious now, don't they? But those things sort of feel like absolutely part of that cabaret scene. It feels like a real turn, doesn't it? And you know, that's something I think that you sort of miss a lot now in modern comedy, is the concept of a turn. The idea that you give this guy the space to go out and do that, what is ultimately a very simple idea, but you suspend disbelief and just enjoy it as a piece of writing and performance. And you don't see nearly enough of that, I don't think, these days. It's certainly it's worth describing the cover of this this single, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see nearly enough performers dressed in velvet smoking jackets, sipping from a very expensive looking bone china with a small half bottle of Johnny Walker on a mantelpiece next to an umbrella, a cricket bat, a pair of boxing shoes, and stood on it's a tiger skin rug.
Right.
It's kind of Avengers-esque, isn't it?
It's true. Avengers. John Steed, yes.
It's got a real touch of that in the look.
Yeah,
and then
and
then you listen to it and it feels a bit more Harold Macmillan.
Oh, good.
But,
well,
I'm glad you liked it.
I thought
it was great.
I thought you'd be really scathing about it.
Really?
I thought you'd say, what's this old-fashioned rubbish? We need to change all this.
There's room for that and there's room for the old dancehall reggae isn't there? You know?
Yeah.
Maybe the two should go together. That should be the next numpty project, perhaps.
Well, perhaps it brings us up nicely to something else you've brought with you.
Yeah.
Which is Peter Cook.
Yeah, I've bought a really great recording, actually. It's a recording of Peter Cook from his time, really, sort of really after he'd finished performing, after his prime. But there's an album of recordings that were made by his old mate called Rainbow George. And they're called Over at Rainbow's. That's the name of the record. And what Rainbow George used to do, they used to sit around really getting a bit drunk and whatever else they, I'm sure we can imagine what they used to do. And there is a certain sort of, there's a certain quality of sadness, I think, to it. But ultimately, the gleaming, shining brilliance of Peter Cook still shines through. And it's two men doing what you'd imagine. It's essentially what Jonathan Ross and Russell Brand had a go at and caused all that trouble on Radio 2. But this has done far more funnily, and just for themselves.
Okay.
Lovely.
Shall we play this then?
Yeah.
Let's listen to this. Okay.
Children take more notice of smartly dressed teachers than scruffy ones.
There you go, Peter. So you got a chance.
And if you're a budgie breeder, I'd like to know how on earth you do it, because budgie breeders are working overtime to create a pink. How is it done?
You could do it great. How's it done? Go on, tell her. Peter, come on.
3538111.
You're a budgie breeder from Hampstead. Tell her how it's done. What's your number?
A Midnight News, this is Steve Allen. Mrs. Thatcher says the people of Bradford have come together in tragedy following the fire disaster at the city's football ground. Prime Minister was visibly moved on her visit to Bradford yesterday when she saw the charred ruins and met injured survivors in hospital. The trip came on the day the death toll rose to 53. The latest victim, 72-year-old Lincolnshire man.
Your budget breeder. As they bring it in flight, preferably a TWA. He might have something else to talk about easier than breeding budgets, but I think breeding budgets is ideal for you to call at this moment in time. Can you be an Indian budget breeder? Fritz from Hampton? Fritz. Yeah, Fritz a budget breeder from Hampton. You'll get on. Could I speak to Dan Damon, please? He was asking about budgie breeding. Well, I have some and successfully breed them. Fritz from Hampstead, well, West Hampstead really, but Hampstead I call it. Pardon? Oh, thank you very much.
Hello, Daniel. Can I call you down? That is jolly good, isn't it? I'd like to talk about the traffic problem in South East London.
A problem there.
But certainly a nice brisk walk. Get up 20 minutes earlier and a nice brisk walk along the embankment. Hello, sky. Hello, clouds. Wonderful stuff. Fritz.
Is that Dan?
So far.
Good. You were asking at the beginning of the programme about badges and breeding.
Yes, Fritz. Have you had trouble with the special branch?
Not, sorry.
There's a very funny noise on your telephone line.
No, never had trouble with that.
Oh, well, okay.
I've had trouble with badges.
Right, explain, if you will.
Well, you want to know how to get them to breed or how to stop it?
Well, what's your trouble, then? What have you had?
I have none. I have hundreds of budgies.
Even as we speak, you have hundreds of budgies?
Well, not in the same room.
But where are the budgies now?
In cages, upstairs.
Are they?
Close to the window. But the secret of getting them to breed is simple fresh air, a healthy diet, and nice music.
Fritz, I'm gripped by this, but unfortunately the telephone is making very nasty noises and it's going to do something to our transmitter, which we can't afford. So I will perhaps... Let's ring Fritz back, see if we can make contact with him again. Here's Jim in Islington. Jim?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey.
Okay. That's quite an obscure one. I've never heard that
before. I think they just used to do loads. I think they used to sort of ring up LBC and various other radio stations all the time and just put on various different voices. And another great one is Sven, the fisherman from Sweden. Which is another favourite that they used to do. But there's some absolutely terrific ones. And what I like about it is them just amusing themselves at home. There's something honest about it not being presented as performance, I think. And it's a really nice little collection. And they should get Rainbow George on, actually.
Is he still around?
He is, yeah. He runs the Rainbow Coalition, which I think is some sort of organisation that's trying to take over the media. So he'd probably be very... maybe not even the world, possibly, even. So I think he'd be quite interested, yeah.
Yeah. So were you particularly fond of Peter Cook? Did you like
Peter? I loved his... Yeah. I love Peter Cook's stuff. I mean, you know, I think it's sort of... I don't know anyone who's... really says that, who likes comedy at all, that says that they don't really.
No.
You know, I think this, you know, it was just so sparklingly brilliant and stood out so much more. It had edge, it had poetry, it was improvised, it was fast, it was everything you want out of a piece of comedy. You got it out of Pete and Dud particularly, I think.
He had a reputation for... there was a bit of a reputation for treating Dudley rather badly, wasn't there?
Yeah, but, you know, Dudley was a...
He was a bit of a fall guy.
Dwarf, wasn't he? So,
You have the same instinct?
No. I think that was part of the act. I think the act worked on that dynamic, really. And I think you could say that was Dan... Was Oliver Hardy a bit cruel to Stan Laurel? Well, in the films, but that's the dynamic that builds the relationship, isn't it? I mean, I know that there is stuff. I think that, you know, like everybody, people, you know, who knows? I don't know anything about Peter Cook's life other than the biography, but, you know, you know, he was certainly what everyone considered to be the shining star of that whole movement. And oddly, he was the one that didn't go on to make enormous amounts of cash and fame and fortune out of it. And you know what? It doesn't really matter if he was still... making himself laugh with his mates, phoning up radio stations, prank calling them.
Yeah. You know?
More people should do that.
But like Hancock, it ended badly, didn't it?
Well, if you judge someone on how well their career went, I mean, I know nothing about the man's private life.
So, right.
If I suppose it did go fairly badly. He died an alcoholic, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not good.
Nope.
Not ideal.
I'm just wondering if there's something here with...
Funny?
I mean, I know it's an obvious kind of... The idea of the tragic clown or something.
Well, maybe. But, I mean, you know, everyone fishes for that, don't they?
Yes.
I think, you know... That,
I'm fishing for it now.
Well, Tears of a Clown. Have you got Smokey Robinson queued up to end the show or something?
I haven't actually, no.
That would be just too slick for words,
wouldn't
it? But I don't know. I don't know if it's that or not. I certainly sort of stick to the funny bit, really, because... What's the point of remembering the sad bit?
So it doesn't mask anything like sort of...
For me?
Do you need the laughter?
I do, yeah. I'm an outrageous show-off. I'm desperate for attention. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. But it doesn't mean that I'm, you know, I might be a deeply scarred individual. But, you know, just come to Edinburgh, 4:05, the newsroom, it's free, and just shower me in your applause and love. And that will be fine. Other than that, I don't have any sort of mental problems at all.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Well, we're sort of, once again, we're sort of hurtling towards the end of the programme. I'll quickly play this. This is quite interesting, by Asmus Teachins. Well, there's only about a minute left. So thank you very much to Stephen Parry, otherwise known as DJ Numpty.
Yes, bring on the Numpty. Thank you very much, William.
That's all right. And thank you for winning the competition and providing us with an alternative theme tune. Good luck in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's coming up next. What's after this?
BPM.
BPM.
Next. Okay. Sounds very good to me.
Well, we're playing out with a track by Asmus Teachins, and coming up next is BPM.